Genesis chapter number 5. I'm in the, flipping all the way to the back of the Bible here, man. Woo! I feel like a new convert or something. I'm in Revelation, flipping from the front to the back here to get to Genesis chapter 5. Genesis chapter number 5. I'm going to pray, and then I want to back up. There was something that I did not go through a little bit as much as I wanted to, and I realized that when I was studying for this. And so I thought about it, and I'm going to go into it a little bit more quickly, because it was in the previous chapter. Father, we thank you for the day that you've made. Thank you, Lord, for the Word of God, those that I've been having that I had the opportunity today to preach to. And Lord, these tonight, God, I'm honored that my family and Brother Joe, Miss Jennifer, her family, God, are here. God, I'm thankful, Lord, that where two or three are gathered together in thy name, there are you in the midst. And I pray that, Lord, as we gather together in the name of Jesus Christ, you be in the midst of us. Deal with hearts as we preached on the Holy Spirit this morning, that the Holy Spirit of God would bring those that are lost to the saving knowledge. Those of us that are saved would bring us under conviction that we walk a cleaner life. We love you. Help us now. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So we're looking at Genesis chapter 5, but really quickly, I want to back up. Genesis 1:28, if you're flipping over there real quick. Genesis 1:28 says, "And God blessed them and said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion." So God from the start in creation week, God wanted man to spread out. This is important because of the heart of man. And so go to chapter 4. As we looked at last week with Cain, we know that Cain rebelled against God. Cain went out from the presence of God. Adam and Eve got kicked out of the garden, but they still stayed with God in the presence of God. And here in chapter 4, verse 16, "And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden." And here, this is important, verse 17, "And Cain knew his wife and conceived and bare Enoch and builded a city and called the name of it after his son Enoch." And so here we see that God wanted man to spread out, but when man, the evil thoughts of heart of man is actually to gather together. Go to chapter 9 really quick. I know this is ahead, but I did want to show this. Chapter number 9, speaking of, I had some... In verses 1 and then in verse 7, we'll look here. It says in Genesis 1:9, "And God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth." God gives the same command to Noah that he gave to Adam and Eve. He wanted them to replenish the earth, meaning to slowly overtake it. We even see that when in the Exodus, when God is going to lead the children of Israel into the land of promise, God tells them that he is not going to have them go out and wipe out everybody out of the land of Israel yet, because if they did, then it becomes a wilderness. God wants them to slowly go in, and God wants them to wipe out a certain amount, and then over the years, God wants them to finish wiping out the rest of those people. Now, a lot of people use that to say, see how unjust God is sending those people in to wipe out these others, because they went in and also wiped out the women and the children as well. And people are often trying to use that against God. But listen, the problem is when you have heathens, when you have people like that and you intermingle with them, they bring their customs in. On top of that, these people that in the land of Canaan were very wicked. They did some wicked things, child sacrifice. They messed with children, kind of what the junk that we see going on in our day and time. That was common practice. And so God wanted Israel to go in there and wipe them people out. And in fact, by doing that, God is actually showing mercy to those children. You say, how so, preacher? Because those children would not have been of age to know right and wrong, even though they're seeing their parents corrupted through false idols. The fact that God went there and wiped some of those children out, had they wiped the children out before they reached the age of accountability, God showed mercy to them so that those kids didn't die and go to hell by worshiping false idols like their parents did. God gave them, matter of fact, God even says it, God gave the land of Canaan a chance a period of to get right. God gave them, just like I believe God has given America right now, God is extending a measure of grace to us. And so here in verse 7, Genesis 9, 7, and you be fruitful and multiply and bring forth abundantly in the earth, multiplying. But we see, and I'm not going to get into it, but I did want to bring this out, that they immediately, after the flood, you have three families that the whole earth is replenished. As far as we know, according to the Bible, Noah and his wife had no more children. All the earth was refilled with Shem, Ham, and Japheth. All the earth was earth. But immediately, these are the families that came off the ark. They saw what had before. Noah's grandkids. One of them's grandkids. Noah's grandkids or great-grandkids. I think it's Noah's great-grandkids. It's one of his grandkids. Immediately goes out and starts building a city. You say, what's the big deal? When people build cities, man is doing it for power. Man is doing it to control people. Man is doing it. God told him to go out and fill the earth, replenish the earth. God wants us. Now, he doesn't want us not to have people to fellowship with. But the problem, look at your major cities right now in America and look at the corruption in the towns. Look at the crime that goes on. When man gets together, Donovan, when man gets together, man starts corrupting themselves. The most corruption in this country right now, if I told you, if I gave everybody a chance, what do you think is the most corrupt city in this country right now? Memphis. You think Memphis? Las Vegas? You say L.A., Los Angeles? You said Las Vegas. Mm-hmm.
It's Memphis,
but
I said San Francisco.
San Francisco?
New York City.
Not one of you said Washington, D.C.
Washington.
Think about the corruption that's in Washington, D.C. Now, all those others are believe corrupt, but that shows you the heart of man. These towns, Memphis is like one of the worst ones for crime. Los Angeles, man, with drugs, they're overrun. Las Vegas with sin. I mean, all of them are corrupt in their own ways. But that's the heart of man. Chicago, people are constantly, they keep the mayor up there keeps coming. There's no problem. They have 50 shootings a weekend in that town. Right now, not everybody dies, but the other week they had like 50 shootings, and 8 of them died. The heart of man is on sin to do evil continually. God wanted man to spread out, and Cain immediately goes out, and his seed, we know, does get cut off, Natalie, but his heart was to go out after he's left the presence of God and to build a city. The city itself is not sin, but for some reason, when people get around each other, they sin. What happens? Well, eventually, Natalie, you get people that become busybodies and gossips. It starts off, I think, simple. It probably starts off with busybodies and gossips. And eventually, you get manifold. Then, by the way, has anybody seen? I remember mentioning this a while back, whenever it happened. How many of y'all remember when I mentioned the sheriff that shot the judge in Kentucky back several months ago? I don't think it's been a year. I think it was earlier this year. Do y'all remember that story? I said it in here. We really need to pray for it. It has come out that judge was running a ring in the courthouse. A very wicked, and I don't want the young people to go out and look at it, but yeah, if you get a chance, that's what it's called come out, and it came out that part of it that they were saying from the start, that judge was trying to recruit that sheriff's 14-year-old daughter to be part of it. That's why. So, because they said from the start that judge had the sheriff's, I think she was 14. Was she 14? She was underage. I know she was underage. The sheriff, or the judge, had the sheriff's daughter's number on his phone. They knew that from the start. And now they found out that that's what it was. So I don't know. I'm not saying it's right. It's definitely not right to murder. I understand as a father why you would get that enraged. But you should have brought it to light so that everybody could have been. But he found out that the judge was in on it. Some of his deputies were in on it. And a lot of people were saying, why? Because it's corrupt. Man is corrupt, man. We are sinners by nature. We're sinners by birth. And we are sinners by choice.
I wonder why on the commandments they says, thou shalt not kill. And the translation from Hebrew is, thou shalt not murder, not thou shalt not kill.
Come up in the King James. Why? Modern Bibles do translate it. But if you look up the Greek word, is I don't know when the word...
So it doesn't really say, thou shalt not kill. It just says, thou shalt not murder. Killing's something different than murdering something.
Right. In war, killing is part of it. But that's why... You have to take the whole law. You know, yes, modern Bibles, they do go ahead and put it as murder. King James is, thou shalt not kill. But if you look it up, yes, the Hebrew word, it has to do with murder. Meaning, there's no just cause you kill somebody. That's why, I am not pro-life. I am an abolitionist. I believe that when you murder somebody, like what happened this last week, you forfeit your life. The Bible talks about in the book of Ecclesiastes that the reason that sin or evil abounds, I can't remember exactly how the verse goes, but there's a verse in Ecclesiastes that says that because judgment is not executed swiftly, sin, evil abounds. And that's exactly what we're seeing in our day and time. How long do people, I can't imagine, I'm sure if you looked it up, the internet would tell you, The average person probably sits on death row 15 to 20 years easily nowadays. So why would somebody, there's no deterrent anymore. They used to go out, you'd be found guilty, and that day or there that week, they'd have a hanging. And I understand that some innocent people, because of things that happened in our country back then, I'm not for that. I'm saying, though, the day and time we live in, like this young man, they have evidence. They've got all the evidence they need. That he should. I'm not for killing him yet. He does deserve, because of our Constitution, a trial. The Constitution says a swift trial. They'll have a swift trial. If he's convicted by a jury of his peers, then he ought to be executed within a week.
It
is sad that all that happens. And again, I'm not trying to be political. We really need to pray for our nation, because there are people that are cheering this. And again, if Barack Obama had got assassinated, I would not cheer that. If Kamala Harris had got shot at like Donald Trump did last year, I would not cheer that. God says, the Bible says, God takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. God does not take pleasure in it. We should not either. And these people that cheer it, you okay? She okay? Okay, if you got to go back, go. We understand. If you need to go. She wasn't feeling good last night, y'all. So please don't get near her. Anyway, I just wanted to point that out because I missed that in chapter 4. Now let's go to chapter 5 real quick. Let's see what time we got. I'm only 13 minutes in. So let's see if we should be able to cover this chapter. And I hope that you've got paper and pencil, because I'm going to give you something. This is in the Bible. And so this is really good once we go through this. I got a few things here in this chapter we're going to point out. And then I'm going to show you the gospel message in the men here in this passage. Genesis chapter 5, this is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness made he him. So we see here in verse 1 that God made man in his likeness, just like he tells us in chapter 1 and chapter 2. God backs it up. In the likeness how? God made man body, soul, and spirit. Listen, this body is not going to live forever. You have an eternal soul that will live forever. One of two places. It will live forever in the presence of the Lord, or it will eventually live forever in the lake of fire. But you have a soul that's going to live forever. Every one of us, before you get saved, you are spiritually dead. God made us a triune being, body, soul, and spirit. If you're here this afternoon and you're not saved, you are spiritually dead. And so when you get saved, God gives you eternal life, which means He brings your spirit back to life. You are alive more than you've ever been, and you will, your spirit, your soul will live on in glory or with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so He made us in His own likeness. Hey, by the way, marriage is also a picture of that. Marriage is man, woman, and God. Marriage is also a picture of the of us or God, because marriage involves a man, a woman, and God. No man lived to himself and no man died to himself. And so in verse 2, it backs that up now. It says, God, man, even likeness of man, male and female created He them and blessed them. And here's where we get that the woman changes her name. God called their name Adam. Adam gave Eve her name. God called Adam and Eve by the name Adam. And this is important because we believe when two people get married, what? They become one. They become one flesh. Would you say? Yes, she takes His name. We're not talking that part. I do believe that. I don't believe in the hyphenated names and all that other garbage that goes on in our day and time. If that upsets you, I'm not really sorry for that. I just believe the Bible. The Bible says that they called their name Adam. Listen, I've got five daughters, four that are mine, one of them that's going to be mine soon. And she may not be mine on paper, but she's mine. I'm raising her. And one day, they'll lose the name Landry. I am not going to ask any man, that would be foolish of me as a man, to ask any man to take my daughter's name. That is ridiculous. I don't believe in that. But if it did happen, it would be Allie. I'm sure it would be the one that would do it. Anyway. God called their name Adam. And that's where we get that. In the day that He created, in the day when they were created. Again, Adam gave to Eve her name. Eve means what? Mother of all living. Mother of all living. So Adam gave her that name. Remember, Adam named Eve, but he also did what? He named all the critters and creatures and animals and everything. God brought them all to Adam. He named them. What did He name them? God gave Adam wisdom right from the start. A lot of wisdom. And Adam lived 130 years. So we see here in verse 1, we see the likeness of God. In verse 2, we see marriage, that the woman takes a man's name. And then in verse 3, and Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness. Why is that important, preacher? Because we don't believe in evolution. Adam and Eve weren't two monkeys and had a gorilla.
How old did you say? He lived 900.
He lived 130 years and begat a son. We ain't to his age yet. He lived, by the way, I'm glad you said that, and I forgot that. Oh, it's over here. I forgot to pass that. I'm glad you said that. I hope I got enough of these. If you want to see this on paper, if you want to see it on paper, here it is. If you want to see it now, again, you got to remember, it says we don't know. You know, I was 23. We get married. No, we got married 22. I was 24. How old were we? We had three.
We were 22 and got married 24.
Yeah, we were 22 when we got married before, and so we were 24 when we had Bree. So I was at 24 when we had Bree, but what you got to remember is what? Crystal was only a couple months till her birthday, especially with Maggie. Maggie was born in February. We would have been whatever age, but then right after we had Maggie, Allie split us in the middle. Crystal's birthday's first. My birthday second, Allie. So when he says Adam was 130 30 years old. We don't know. So this is important, because when you're trying to do the Bible and genealogy and trying to figure out the exact years, it's important that you got to give a little bit of leeway in there is what I'm getting at. So Adam was 100. You can't just take, well, Adam was 130 and then this and then this. And this is exactly what year it's got to be, because if you take the fact that my father was 24, I think Dad was like 24 when I was born, and I was 24 when Bree was born. Well, that's great. But you're not going to say that's exactly 48 years. Why? Because of where our birthdays were in the year. So you have to allow a little bit of leeway with that, because some people have used that kind of stuff years-wise to try to say, well, see, the Bible's not true. Well, that's because it wasn't exactly Adam's 130th birthday when he had Seth. And it wasn't Seth's exactly. Seth was lived 105 years and begot Enos. All it takes is a couple generations to lose a year. You're not going to lose a lot of time, but you could possibly lose a year here or there. So that's important to. I just wanted you to see that. And it's good to see that. One of the things I did want to point out that we're going to look at here, by the way, if you look, and this is pretty close, that means Adam lived to see at least Lamech, or possibly saw Lamech, Noah's father. Adam would have lived long enough to see the one before the flood. We know that Seth would have saw Lamech. That's important to remember. That's how, preacher, you believe it? Absolutely. I honestly, man, I'm 43 years old. I feel like I'm just beginning to live. I feel like I am just beginning to live at 43. And yet, half of my life could be over. Unless I live to 90, half of my life is over already. I feel like, man, that living 900 years would be awesome. My wife is like, But then you got to remember, there was not the sin, the corruption of what there is now. The flood had not happened. All that stuff. So here he tells us in verse 3, so we see not only the likeness of men, likeness of God, is men are making that, marriage in verse 2, but in verse 3, we see that Adam begat Seth after his own likeness. There's no place for evolution. I think God put this verse in here for that particular reason. Verse 3, that Adam lived 130 years and begot a son in his own likeness after his image, and called his name Seth. God wanted us, God knew. Did it take God by surprise that Darwin would come out with his theory of evolution? It's fascinating seeing it on paper, isn't it? So he lived 130 years. And the days of Adam, after he begot Seth, were 800 years. And he begot sons and daughters. By the way, this is not... When it says this, like Adam begot Seth, we know that he begot who before Seth? Cain and Abel. That's not saying that they didn't have more sons and daughters. Those are just the three that God told us about. It's very likely he's 130 years old. It's very likely he's had kids for at least the last 40 or 50 years. So he's probably could have even had, they could have had 30, 40, 50 kids in their lifetime. We don't know. These are the three. You got to remember that, because he tells us after Seth is born, he even got more sons and daughters. These are just the three that God told us about. Because people ask, where did these get their wives? From their sisters. It's gross in our mind, but at that time, there was not the sin and the things in that day. So God says that he lived and begot sons and daughters, and all the days that Adam lived was 930 years, and he died. Seth lived, let me see where am I, okay, don't doubt. Seth lived 105 years and begot Enos. This is not saying that there's not children before Enos. He's only tracing. Why is this lineage important, Maggie? Why is this lineage important? You're in La La Land. That's why I called on you. Bree, why is this lineage important? It's the lineage of Christ. It's not saying that there were not other sons and daughters, and it's not saying that there weren't some preachers or some powerful people there. This is the lineage that God is tracing because this is the lineage of Christ. We don't have the lineage of Shamhan and Japheth's wives. Why? Because we don't have the rest of the lineage of some of these others. We have the one that God wants us. He is not tracing Japheth's. He's not tracing Ham. He is tracing the lineage of Shem because he is giving us the lineage of Christ because he needs the lineage for what purpose? Allie? Because he had to be able to prove he was of David, to be of the lineage of King, to be the king. But in the book of Luke traces it all the way back to Adam. Why? To prove that he is the Son of Man. He's the Son of God and the Son of Man. So that's why this lineage is important. I remember, listen, some of you young people, maybe, oh, Lord, why is all this in here? Why all these names? I don't like Methuselah. Who wants to pronounce and spell Methuselah? God did, because when you find out what Methuselah means, you're going to be amazed. I got to hurry up. I got to get through this chapter today. Okay. So I'm going to move quickly through the rest of this just so we can get with this. And there's a couple other things I'm going to hit. Seth lived 105 years, begot Enos. Seth lived after he begot Enos 807 years, begot sons and daughters. All the days of Seth were 912 years and he died. Enos lived 90 years and begot Canaan. And Enos lived after he begot Canaan 815 years and begot sons and daughters. All the days of Enos were 915 years and he died. Canaan lived 70 years and begot Mahulalam. And Cain lived after he begot Mahulalam. I know if I'm pronouncing that wrong, somebody knows how, you'd be more than welcome to help me afterwards. 840 years begot sons and daughters, and all the days of Cain were 910 years, and he died. Mahulalam lived 65 years and begot Jared. And Mahulalam lived after he begot Jared 830 years and begot sons and daughters. All the days of Mahulalam were 895 years, and he died. And Jared lived 162 years. So then, again, he's not saying that there weren't other people born before them, but this is the lineage. We pick on my brother, my wife and I, we pick on my brother and his wife because they were 39. He was 39. I think she was 38 when their first kid was born. Yeah. And they called him the tiny terrorist. Because when you throw a kid in to two people that are almost 40 years old nowadays that have never raised kids, it's going to be turning your world upside down. So, yeah, so it's not saying that there's not having kids before that. They're just, God is just tracing this lineage. Jared lived 162 years and begot Enoch. And Jared lived after he begot Enoch 800 years and begot sons and daughters. All the days of Jared were 962 years and he died. Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. Most of y'all have heard this. Now this is another thing I want to point out. As far as we know, Enoch is a preacher in the first recognized preacher. If you go in the book of Jude, the Bible talks about Enoch being a preacher. So we don't know if there's any others. This is not to say there wasn't others, but in the Bible, according to the Bible and the book of Jude, Enoch is the first recognized preacher. Enoch walked with God after he begot Methuselah. Did you hear that? Something about having the children made Enoch realize. We don't know what his relationship was with God before, but apparently it wasn't what it needed to be because it says it's not till after Methuselah. And when I go through the names, you'll understand why. Maybe that's why it's happened.
That'll be Jesus.
Methuselah, or Enoch, walked with God after he begot Methuselah 300 years and begot sons and daughters. Now all the days of Enoch were only 360 years. Enoch is a type of the church. This is your first picture of the rapture right here. Enoch walked with God and he was not, for God took him. This is the first picture of the rapture. Enoch is a type of the church. Why do we know that? Again, because the Bible says in the book of Jude, he was a preacher. Enoch walked with God after he begot Methuselah. Something about having kids made him realize that. He walked with God. He was not. God took him. That's a picture of the rapture. Methuselah lived 187 years and begot Lamech. Methuselah lived after he begot Lamech 782 years and begot sons and daughters. That's the one, by the way. Methuselah lived what? Oh, I haven't got it yet. Sorry, Methuselah lived after he begot. Methuselah lived 87 years and begot Lamech. Methuselah lived after he begot Lamech 782 years. Begot sons and daughters. All the days of Methuselah were 969 years, and he died. Methuselah lived the longest recorded in the Bible. According to that thing. Methuselah would have died the same year that the floods came upon the earth. He could have died in the floods. Maybe he didn't get right with God. Maybe he just died that year. We'll see, because Methuselah, I'll tell you the name of it and you can go from there. Let's see, where was I? Methuselah lived the longest. By the way, it is also probable that Noah, you're going to love this, it's also probable that Noah was alive when Abram was born. According to the lifespans and everything. Again, we don't know for sure because you got to give and take some, but it is very probable that Noah may have lived even to the point of Abram being born and would have died there around that same time. Methuselah lived, he's 969 years. We know he's the longest one. Lamech lived 182 years and begot a son and called his name Noah, saying, "The same shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands because of the ground which the Lord hath cursed." Noah is a type of the Jew. Enoch went out before, this is why we believe in a pre-tribulation rapture. Lamech went out before judgment fell. Noah was there when judgment fell, but he was protected in the ark. We believe that during the tribulation, the Jew will be protected by the grace of God. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. The Jew will be protected during the tribulation by the grace of God. And God will get them through the tribulation. Noah, the same shall comfort us concerning our work and the toil of our hands because of the Lord. Lamech lived after he begot Noah 592 years and begot sons and daughters. You know what's sad? Of all Lamech's sons and daughters, unless some of those daughters were Noah's wife, Shem, Ham, and Japheth's wives, the only one of his children to get on there was Noah. The only one to get on that ark of Lamech's children was Noah. Unless one of those women were some of his children. All the days of Lamech were 777 years, and he died. Why is that important? Because God's number, the number of completion, is the number 7. 777, the number of the devil, is 666. That was showing that judgment was coming. And then finally, verse number 32. And Noah was 500 years old, and Noah begat Shem, Ham, and Japheth. So by the time Noah was around 500 years old, he had those three children, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Does it mean that they had them all at the same time? It's just the way that God has written this. Now, Methuselah lived the longest lifespan. He died around the same year that the floodwaters came upon the earth. So he may have died shortly before the flood, or he may have died during the flood. We don't know. Adam lived 930 years. He was alive when Lamech, Noah's father, was born. Adam died just 126 years before Noah was born. Adam lived to see 8 generations from Seth to Lamech. At least 8 generations. He may have saw more that were not traced. Some people have kids. We just talked about my brother, him and his wife. They joked around. They said, if our kids wait as long as we did, we'll not get to see any grandkids.
Wasn't that in that class that we learned that in 4 generations you can have all the
It does not take long, really, to have that many, depending on how fast and how many you have. Jacob had 12 sons. And if you think that those back then, because they didn't have the birth control things that we have in our day, I don't know if you had 12, if all 12 of them were to have just 5 sons, that would have been 12 times 5, 60. If they would have just had 5 sons, each of those, that would have been 60. And now if all 60 of them would have had 5 to 6 sons, so it does not take long when you see we're living a day and time where, by the way, if you don't realize this, more black babies in New York are killed than are born by abortion. That's the kind of world we live in. We live in a world where abortion is celebrated. More black babies are killed through abortion than are born in New York. It's really sad. So if you've got a pen and piece of paper, if you want to write this down, here's the names. Now, there are other names, but these are the ones that produce the gospel message. Adam, Seth, Enos, Canaan, should be probably pronounced, Jared, Enoch, Methuselah, Lamech, and Noah. If you write their names down, Adam's name means man. It can also mean Red or Rudy, but for this thing we're using man. Adam means man. Seth means appointed. God appointed another because of Abel was killed by his brother. So you have Adam as man, Seth as appointed. Enos means moral. E-N-O-S, Enos, means moral. Canaan, here, this Canaan means sorrow. It can also mean possession. Mahulali means the blessed God. Mahulali means the blessed God. Or it can also mean the praise of God. Jared means shall come down. Or descent. Anybody that's writing them, I need to slow down.
Why are they spelled different?
Or what are what spelled different? What do you mean, why are they spelled different? Oh, then somebody, maybe they took from Luke's. Yeah, when you translate it from Luke's, he's translating it from Greek, so it may be spelled different. Adam means man, Seth means appointed, Enos means moral, Canaan means sorrow, Mahulah means the blessed God, Jared means shall come down, Enoch means teaching, Methuselah means his death shall bring.
And also,
what do you mean is that? His death, you're going to love this. This is how good God is. Methuselah means his death shall bring. Lamech, remember what happened with Methuselah? The year he died, so his death shall bring. It was actually prophetic But it's also prophetic because these names have a gospel message. Lamech means the despairing. Despairing. D-E-S-P-A-I-R-I-N-G. It also can mean powerful or strong, but for this, Lamech means the despairing. And then Noah means comfort or rest. So when you put their names together, from Adam to Noah, man appointed moral sorrow. The blessed God shall come down, teaching, his death shall bring the despairing comfort or rest. Did you see that? The gospel message is right here in Genesis chapter 5. The man appointed, which was Adam, moral sorrow. So because of Adam, we are appointed moral sorrow. But because of that, the blessed God shall come down, teaching, his death shall bring the despairing comfort or rest. God put the gospel message in these men. But God didn't name them. Ain't that amazing? Their parents named them. And through that, the sovereign will of God was able to produce the gospel message. Now, there are some others. By the way, there are some other meanings. If you go look up some of these other names, some of these names, you'll say, well, listen. There's different names. Daniel means God is my judge, but you go out there and you're going to find other meanings of Daniel as well. If you find Bonnie's name meant beautiful.
My name Christmas.
Natalie's meant, Christmas, I think it was one of the things that her name meant. Brie or Maggie, I think it's Maggie, meant, one of them meant like princess or something, I don't remember. But it shows you. It just shows you how good God is that right here in Genesis chapter 5, God had already appointed that he was coming down. So we see now what we consider the second prophecy of the Lord Jesus Christ contained in the names here in Genesis chapter 5. My question to you tonight, if you're here tonight, do you know the Lord? Because I'm telling you, the time, with everything we're seeing this week, we are seeing people are saying, well, we're going to see a revival. We're going to see, I'm telling you, the devil is going to work what happened this last week for his purpose. God's going to use it for his. We had a family visit, this couple of visits this morning. They said, because of what happened. That's what they visited for, because they knew they needed to come. They knew to be in church. But I was there 24 years ago in church. I was saved. And a lot of people came in after 9/11. Four weeks later, most of them were right back out again. This is only one man. And I'm not downplaying. He's a very influential man. But I'm just telling you, if people do not get saved, they will not endure. And if you're here and you're not saved, you need to come and call on the name of the Lord. I'm going to give an altar call. God has appointed that Jesus would come down and die for your sins. He died for my sins as well. And if you've never received him, you need to come. Father, we thank you for the day. If there's one here tonight that is not saved, may they come tonight and call on the name of the Lord for salvation. Help them, Lord, to see their need. The time is short and the return of Christ is at hand. May they call upon the name of the Lord before it's too late. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Come on tonight if you need to come.